Production. Recorded live.
This show contains mature content. Listener discretion is advised. One New York City Puerto Rican decided to start a radio show determined to piss the world off. By shoving a mirror within society's face, he kicks them in the balls. I present to you Louis B. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show.
Yo, welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. We are on an active war on bullshit. We will do anything we can to expose bullshit, including using our mitochondria superpowers, I guess. I forgot what they're called. I keep messing them up. Was listening to Chrissy's show. She had Larry Babcock talking about how to use your mitochondria stuff, and I don't know. Can't explain it. I don't know. Anyways, we would do anything we can to expose bullshit. The ends sometimes justify the means. So if you're angry and want the truth exposed, then strap in and prepare to be shocked. This is Smash Mouth Talk. If you can't accept it, then fuck off. I'm your host, Louis B. I don't hold my tongue or censor myself. I attack the issues that I don't agree with, and I drag them into the light. I would do anything and everything to expose anything that is corrupt. And before we get started, we usually have the prayer for good radio. But we usually play Reverend X. But now we're going to play a pimp named Slipback. We usually go between two people. So here it is.
Let us pray the pimp's prayer. Lord, please pray for the soul of this bitch and guide my pimp hand and make it strong, Lord, so that she might learn a hoe's place. Amen.
Amen. So anyways, we're doing news and commentary today. And the first news story we got up is Obama can shut down the internet for 4 months under new emergency powers. Oh, you know Obama hates that internet. That internet been fucking his shit up completely. He can't escape it. People could find out what kind of fraud he is. People could spread information like wildfire, especially with Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, YouTube. Oh, he's getting cyber bitch slapped online. So of course he's gonna need a way to shut it all down. You can't be having talking crap about him 24/7, realizing, oh wait, he's illegitimate? Wait a minute, he might be an illegal immigrant himself? I mean, that's if you believe that. I mean, I do find it weird that he doesn't want to show his birth certificate. You know, I'm willing. there's so much circumstantial evidence. I mean, it's not like he could get convicted on the evidence that's out there. But I mean, it's really interesting what's been pulled up. Especially, I mean, we've had people like Pastor James David Manning on the show twice, calling him the long-legged Mac Daddy. I mean, Obama's pretty much killed it for any real black conservative to ever be taken, or any black politician could be taken seriously if he wanted to run for president. In fact, I mean, really, I make this point all the time. If Obama was a real threat, was really for change, or was really for getting people getting the change people wanted, he would have been assassinated like John F. K., like Robert F. Kennedy, and Malcolm X, and Dr. Martin Luther King. If he was a real black leader. But he isn't. He's just an establishment guy. I mean, look how he's working. And it kind of makes me laugh, because I run into a lot of people that are, they know about the New World Order, they know about what's going on, you know, but he's, but they say, oh, yay Obama, we like Obama, Obama, we gotta give Obama a chance. Nigga, that dude has had a year, and he's already proven what he's trying to do. He already proved, who you know, what his agenda is, and his agenda is to destroy the nation, destroy the Constitution, and really turn this government more illegitimate. So anyways, to this story, I went on a fucking tangent. Obama can shut down the internet for 4 months under new emergency powers. The Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee yesterday unanimously approved a major cybersecurity legislation that would structure how the federal government protects public and private sector cyber networks. Really, why does the government have to worry about what happens with private sector? I mean, that's why companies pay the big bucks for IT guys. That's why they hire people like my boy Lenny that's in the chat room right now, the TalkShoe chat room. They pay him the big bucks to find out where the holes are. Why does the government have to, like, oh my goodness, the role of the government is to protect people from cyber attacks. You know what you do? You freaking get yourself some antivirus, or better yet, switch to a fucking Linux, learn how to use a Linux computer, and you won't have to worry about shit, and fucking learn how to defend yourself. I mean, seriously, I mean, I you know, everything, all my common sense usually just comes from the street. Really, do I rely on a cop to protect me? No, you learn how to defend yourself, you learn how to freaking throw a punch, throw a kick. You get over your queasiness if you have to, like, take it to the next level to really defend yourself and smash someone's head into the pavement. Same thing comes with everyday life. You have to take responsibility for your own self-defense, whether cyber or actual. So, you know, it's... Okay, yeah, Lenny's like, Macintosh. And so anyways, Lenny, if you wanna advertise your services, let me know and I'll read it off. So anyways, yeah, back to the article. Crafted by ranking member Susan Collins and Senator Joe Lieberman on Tom Carper, the Protecting Cyberspace as a National Asset Act of 2010 calls for the creation of a White House Office of Cyberspace Policy to spearhead federal and private sector efforts to secure critical cyber networks and assets. You know what? It's kind of funny that the federal government is so worried about cybersecurity when, you know what, every now and then you hear a story on how North Korea... North Korea. I keep getting those mixed up. North Korea are the scumbags, right? Yeah, they're the ones on top. Yeah, and so North Korea, it was reported that they hacked into the Pentagon. How the hell do you allow the Pentagon to get hacked? Which I do believe it's a bullshit story, so that way they say, oh, we need to lock down the internet. Hell, you know, what's going to happen is they're going to probably shut down the internet, and then when they allow us to have the internet again, it's going to be some gay-ass fucking version of the internet like they have it in Australia that you have to pay per kilobyte. It's none of that flat rate pricing. You have to get your thumb scanned and all that, so download as much as you can. And get it on PDF and print it up, because once the internet is gone, it ain't gonna come back like it used to. Because I mean, this is one of many articles coming out. Obama, you can tell Obama straight hates the internet. He's like, honey, they know my real name.
What's wrong, Barry?
Honey, why the hell did you say I was from Kenya?
It was a slip of...
No, bitch. You fucked my shit up. We can't be having this. Shut down the internet for 4 months. And be sure you scrub every inch of the internet of my real name, Barry Sotero. Oh, and make sure you scrub that bit about my mom being a porn star. Bullshit. God damn it. I haven't seen my brother Mutombo since 20 years. I don't want to see his ass. got my own grandmother talking shit. Clicking and clacking. That's probably the discussion what happens in the White House. So, catastrophic cyber attack is no longer fantasy or fiction, Lieberman said. Lieberman, he's like, what, he's still independent because he got kicked out? He got kicked out of the Democrat Party? You know. And now he's still a fucking shill for them. So he'll just go along with, like, yeah. It's a clear and present danger. This legislation will fundamentally reshape the way the federal government defends America's cyberspace. It takes a comprehensive risk-based and collaborative approach to addressing critical vulnerabilities in our own defenses. Lieberman said in his blog, saying, "Why the hell am I always getting these fucking Russian spam bots?" I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, that's a problem I have. Goddamn Russian spam bots. This is a good post. Would you like to see go to my site and see a Svetlana taken in the pooper? No, I don't want to see that. That's spam. Freaking spam. I get Russian spam. You know, I think that's the new Cold War right there. Which I'm going to be talking about the Russian spies. Saw a picture of one of them in fuck, let me stop. I got ADD. I swear to God, I do have ADD. Ugh, alright. Get it together. Alright, very good. Alright. So there you go. Anyway, next story. Surprise. Surge replacing pullout? Lawmakers rush to confirm Petraeus anyway. Even though the changing of the top guard might bring an enormous shift to Afghanistan war policies, lawmakers are rushing to confirm the new commander of the war effort chosen by President Obama to replace his runaway general. U.S. General David Petraeus will appear early next week before a key U.S. Senate panel in the hearing on his confirmation to lead the flagging Afghan war effort, the committee announced Thursday. Actually, I forgot that name. I keep forgetting that name of that admiral that he, freaking doublespeak. Let me see if I can try to find it. I know I made a post on it. Like, that whole, we're going to pull out in July of next year. But hey, surprise, you know, the war's going to last 100 years because, hey, we still got money. We still got able-bodied men who are not in the army. So things have to get so desperate that everyone wants to join the army and be a part of the system. Yeah. So let me see if trying to find it here. Because, I got to play this video for you because it's just ridiculous on how this whole doublespeak. Well, just because we're going to pull out doesn't mean we're going to pull out because, you know, we're ready to leave, but we're not ready to leave because, you know, it's just back and forth with this douche nozzle. Back and forth. And let me see if I'm trying to find it. I think it happened in 2009, but while I'm waiting. Petraeus was to come before the U.S. Senate Armed Services Committee on Tuesday at 9:30 a.m. for what lawmakers were predicting would be the quickest, earliest confirmation process in a long time. Democratic Senator Carl Levin, who chairs the panel, said Wednesday he had a high degree of confidence that it could refer the nomination the same day that we have the hearing to a full Senate for a final confirmation vote. The hearing for General Petraeus confirmation will probably be the fastest in the history of the Armed Services Committee, agreed the panel's top Republican senator, John, this war is going to last 100 years, McCain, but Petraeus could face tough questioning from lawmakers, not that tough, including McCant. Uneasy or outright irate about President Barack Obama's July 2011 date for the beginning of the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. Yeah, still trying to find it. And, God, where is it? I keep forgetting that admiral's name. I really should just have kept it on Yeah, let me. I should have just did Admiral. Okay, Iraq. I think there's a YouTube video to it too, so I'll just have to download it and play it for you guys. But of course, there's going to be a surge. Of course, there'll be a surge. Admiral Mullen. So, anyways, all right, moving on. Supreme Court ruling makes it a crime to work for peace and human rights. So, yeah, you know, you can't be saying, hey, peace and love. It's not normal. Group former President Carter could be prosecuted for monitoring fair elections in Lebanon. The U.S. Supreme Court endorsed Monday a broad reading of the law criminalizing material support to terrorism, a statute that critics argue targets legitimate free speech. Of course, that's another one they don't want to deal with. Yeah. That's another one. Oh, we can't have them talking shit like about us, about the war. We can't have people telling the truth. We can't have people saying that they don't agree with the war. So, yeah, in a 6-3 vote, the highest U.S. court sided with the government and found out that that an NGO could face prosecution for providing non-terror-related support, including rights training, oh my goodness, to U.S.-designated terror groups. Oh, we can't have them knowing what their rights are. Oh, because we want to be able to, give them an unfair trial. We want to be able to torture them. We want to be the animals. The case involved the Humanitarian Law Project, a human rights group which the court ruled could face prosecution under the Material Support Statute for providing human rights or conflict resolution training to groups including the Kurdish PKK or the Tamil Tigers. Yo, I saw the Tamil Tigers take on the Yankees, man. Their pitcher is sick. I mean, not as good as Mussina, though, because, I mean, Mussina was great, man. But the Tamil Tigers, I mean, a little bit more training under Joe Torre will be great. That's what we need. You know, the Tamil Tigers, they're good. They're all right, I guess. Let's go Tamil Tigers. You know, I hope they really make it to the Little League World Series. Let's go Tamil Tigers. Anyways, the material support statute is constitutional and applied to the particular activities plaintiffs have told us they wish to pursue. In a press release sent to Raw Story, the Center for Constitutional Rights argues that the ruling criminalizes free speech and that even former President Jimmy Carter could face potential prosecution. Oh, that'd be hilarious. He's building a house and he gets locked up for being just a straight-up curmudgeon. Seriously, I don't really mind. Don't mind Jimmy Carter. You know, Jimmy Carter freaking seeing some prison. Anyway, today the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 6-3 to criminalize speech in Holder versus Humanitarian Law Project, the first case to challenge the Patriot Act before the highest court in the land. Patriot Act. Yes. Not law. Act. Before the highest court in the land and the first post 9/11 case to pit free speech guarantees against national security claims. Attorneys say that under the court's ruling, many groups and individuals providing peaceful advocacy could be prosecuted, including President Carter, for training all parties in fair election practices in Lebanon. President Carter submitted an amicus brief in the case. The Chief Justice Roberts wrote for the majority, affirming in part, reversing in part, and remanding the case back to the lower court for review. Justice Breyer dissented, joined by Justice Ginsburg and Sotomayor. The court held that the statute's prohibitions on the expert advice, training service, and personnel were not vague and did not violate speech or association rights as applied to plaintiff's intended activities. Plaintiffs sought to provide assistance and education on human rights advocacy and peacemaking to the Kurdish Workers' Party in Turkey and designated terrorist organization. Multiple lower court rulings have found the statute unconstitutionally vague. So yeah. So if you're trying to teach someone and they deem him a terrorist, which could be any one of us soon under the Patriot Act, you could be arrested and sent to Guantanamo Bay, and because you can't be teaching no one how to defend themselves. Anyways, here's another article we got here. Moving on. A huge tent city takes root in Hawaii. Another, another sign of the times, another sign of the Bush. But it started with Bush, but the Obama economy. The Obama economy. I call them Obama because those are your bombs. I call Obama your bomber because, how's that? That's how that goes. That song goes. So, this is from the Star Advisor. Pastor Gerald Hunkin picked his way around rusted car axles, propane tanks, and 2x4s studded with bent nails to find a homeless encampment where people have been cooking and sleeping directly behind Waipahu High School in an area that received unwanted national attention this month. Hunkin wanted to pass a pit bull puppy and peered over a makeshift shelter of tents and a tarp hidden by Koa Hau. I can't pronounce none of these Hawaiian words. And elephant grass that pointed toward the high school's athletic complex, barely a football field away. The school is right over there, Hunkin said last week. This isn't right. Of course it isn't right, because you know what? You wanna tax everyone to hell and, tax all these businesses to hell, and they can't afford it, so they have to let people go and, in order to stay open, and yeah. It's ridiculous. So the strip of land is bounded by Waipahu High School on one side and the calming waters of Pearl Harbor's Middle Lock on the other, where the Navy's mothball fleet sits idle. It's the most visible portion of an enormous homeless encampment that stretches 5 miles over approximately 50 acres of city. Navy and state land that serpentines around Waipu Point Access Road, the Ted McCullough Golf Course, and the city's Waipu Soccer Complex, and back down to Pearl City is in the opposite direction, said Beth Chapman, who uncharacteristically lost a suspect in the swampy brush last year after 5 straight days of searching the area with her husband, Dwayne the Dog Chapman. Wow. Beth Chapman.
It does all around you.
And their bounty hunting family. In an episode of Dog the Bounty Hunter that aired on A&E Network 2 weeks ago, the Chapmans mounted mopeds and switched their SUVs into four-wheel drive to navigate the area, where they discovered about 60 different encampments. Beth Chapman said last week in a telephone interview from Canada, where Dog was on a publicity tour. So at least we got Dog the Bounty Hunter on the case. Maybe he could take a look at go to Washington and have a talk with freaking Obama. Like, hey, brah. So, anyways, yep. And here's a new one. What the hell? Where I'm getting? Oh, here's a new one. This is again under the no shit file. America's compulsory dependence on government. America will soon be celebrating Independence Day, a reminder of how the American founders became independent from British rule and unshackled their serfdom. But given the U.S. government's growth in its size and intrusiveness, just how independent are Americans now? When Friedrich Hayek wrote The Road to Serfdom, I don't think that Hayek considered the government's monopolies could lead to a citizenry into serfdom. But it may be that the government's monopolies of territorial protection and monetary production have been paving that road to serfdom, as they have been also causing widespread economic turmoil and less security. Whether the government monopolized production of money is constitutionally mandated or not, the assumption that only the state should control the commodity of money, a universal means of trade and commerce, needs to be questioned. And so far, I have not heard a reasonable explanation on why Americans must be forced to be dependent on only the government's provision of security without competition. Again, this is by Scott Larowitz from LouRockwell.com. Yeah. The original intent of the American founders was for the federal government to be limited in its size, scope, and power. Except for Alexander Hamilton, most notably, most of the founders opposed the use of paper money and government-monopolized central banks, and founders by the large opposed foreign entanglements and imperialistic expansion of the U.S. government on foreign lands. By default, governmental actions will have the reverse effect of what their proponents intended in domestic and foreign affairs. This is because of the government's legally protected monopoly that restricts participation of competitive agents. Monopolies lack incentive and the market prices to make sound long decisions. In modern America's immediate gratification culture, government bureaucrats' decisions are guided by short-sightedness. Which is not too long ago. What's that name of that? The Ron Paul dollar. Gold coin. Who makes that? Liberty Dollar. This is why Liberty Dollar, that were issuing paper currency that was backed by gold and silver. The feds confiscated all their gold bullion, their gold silver bullion, even though they weren't doing anything illegal. In fact, if you go to their website, libertydollar.org, the Ron Paul dollar, currently unavailable due to government suppression of our constitutionally guaranteed right of political expression. Please support the Liberty Dollar by making. The feds confiscated all their gold and silver and stuff, and they said, "Oh, counterfeiting." Even though it did not look anything like the American dollar, the feds just don't want competition when it comes to currency. So again, yeah, libertydollar.org. They want everyone dependent on the state for everything. So, which is why probably when shit gets really bad, all those people that were stocking up on gold and silver better hide that shit really good. Because they will come and take it like, oh, this is, you can't have gold. You can't have this. You bought this, but alright. And alright, you, how much you bought this gold? $900? Oh, here's $10 for 2 tons of gold that you bought. Yeah, fuck yourself. That's pretty much what's going to go on. This is, more and more, and you see more and more and more, reports like this coming out of Afghanistan. Karzai holds secret talks with the Taliban. Afghan President Hamid Karzai was reportedly met with the Taliban's most senior commander, Serhiy Eden Haghani, in Kabul, as UK calls for peace with the militants. The report said the meeting was mediated by Pakistan's spy agency, the Internal Services Intelligence. You know, the same people that sent Muhammad Atta thousands of dollars. The talks come as NATO forces are experiencing some of their bloodiest days in Afghanistan since the U.S.-led invasion of the country began in 2001. Haghani has been reported to have close ties with the ISI and the Al-Qaeda group. Wait a minute, is Taliban really an Al-Qaeda group? I thought they were separate. I thought, isn't it, isn't, is, wasn't Bin Laden just here under the Taliban's permission. I mean, technically, they're just fighting for their country. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Anyways, moving on. The meeting also comes as British Army Chief has called for talks with the Taliban militants in the war-weary country. General David Richards has insisted that the neighbors, that the negotiations with the Taliban should begin soon as part of an exit strategy for NATO. Yeah. Yeah, an exit strategy. So everyone else wants to get the hell out of, you know, we're going to be by ourselves. The Brits don't want to stay there. They don't want to stay and fight no more. They're like, shit, this is bullshit. Freaking Osama's not even here anymore. He's dead. 6 foot man on dialysis. Moreover, the U.S. officials have been pressing covertly as well as overtly for opportunities to hold negotiation with the Taliban using Pakistan as an intermediary. Previously, however, both the U.S. and the U.K. had insisted that they would never negotiate with terrorists. Oops. Vowing to uproot the Taliban and their operatives. So, there you go. Hey, it's time to negotiate because we're going to have to start a war with Iran, and we realize we can't be, you know, fucking around here in Afghanistan, Iraq, and yeah, we gotta chill out with Afghanistan. The official story of the legitimate threat to our country, the only legitimate threat according to the mainstream media to our country. We're just going to start negotiating with them. All right. Yeah, that's great. Anyways, we're going to be right back. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show, kicking the crap out of the issues.
Well, do you consider that torture?
Absolutely torture.
You do?
Absolutely. I mean, that's drowning.
Independent voters are now the biggest proportion of our electorate.
This is going to be a public relations, trust your government and your health officials, public campaign.
Smashing through the left-right paradigm, it's the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. Listen live at TalkShoe and check out our blog at www.crotchshotradio.com.
This podcast is proud to be a part of the Blueberry Network. Find freshly picked podcasts just for you at blueberry.com. That's blueberry, no E's, .com.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9
p.m. Listen to her!
AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach, Monday through Friday, 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Central, only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Delivery.com, the website that provides fast and easy online ordering from restaurants and caterers in your neighborhood. Some of the benefits of Delivery.com: save money with exclusive restaurant specials. No more busy signals, waiting on hold, or rummaging through piles of menus. Discover new restaurants and merchants in your neighborhood. Earn points on every order, which you can redeem for prices. Sign up today. Place an order with Delivery.com today and get 1,000 free delivery points. And exclusively for Crotch Shot Radio Show listeners, enter promo code TCSR69 for an additional 2,000 bonus points. Only from Delivery.com.
Believe it or not, you could get a professional custom logo designed for under $50. Logo Nerds provides small businesses affordable logos custom made to your specifications. And satisfaction is always guaranteed. The Logo Nerds banner on CrutchShotRadio.com and get a logo done for $27.
This is war!
Get up and fight!
You've had all your life to run and hide. Step up, step up, let's do this.
Welcome back. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the crap out of the issues. Yeah, we don't play in that. Listen, baby, ain't no mountain high, no river. No, wait. What's that song that that Christy comes back to? It is Michael McDonald, though. You're my brother. I grew up in this living hell. So, I forgot, something like that. No, no. We come into some kick-ass music like. I'm just kidding. Love you. Love you, Christy, before I get fucking stabbed by, like, a mind bully or something. Anyways, feds arrest 10 accused of being Russian agents. Less than a week after Russian President Dmitry Medvedev visited the United States, the U.S. Department announced Monday that 10 people were arrested on charges of being Russian agents involved in a long-term mission in the country. Another suspect is still being sought. So that's what that Russian prostitute was doing, looking through my papers. Anyways, five of the arrests. She was pretty good, anyways. Like, can't go wrong with $150 for the hour. Anyways, moving on. Five of the arrested suspects appeared in a New York courtroom Monday. Why is it always New York? Why is it always New York City? Can't they go upstate and fuck with Schenectady at least? If they gotta go up to New, just go upstate. Like, go fuck around with Ithaca. You know, Jesus, go up there. Anyways, four of the five, including a longtime U.S.-based columnist for the Spanish-language El Diario newspaper, were advised of their right. Wow, really? Wow. Were advised on their rights and ordered held due to flight risk. With their next hearing scheduled for July 1st, the other defendant was denied bail, and her next hearing was scheduled for July 27th. Oh, yeah, that chick is hot. If you guys go to the New York Post, you can see a picture of her. She's a fucking hot-ass redhead Rushki. I mean, but that's the thing with Russian women. They don't age well. They really don't. So you really got, like, you know, you got to catch them between the ages of 18 and 30. Then afterwards, they catch the babushka, and they, oh, they're fucked. Actually, then again, that's a lie, because that usually just depends on them, because they're really some hot-ass 45-year-old fucking Russian chicks that, yeah, all right, no, I'm lying. Yep. Assistant U.S. Attorney Michael Farbritz said search warrants in the case were being executed across the country. He called the initial criminal complaint the tip of the iceberg. These, you know, we always got to worry about other countries spying on us. You know, we got to worry about, you know, freaking the Israel spying on us. I'm surprised there are other countries that are over here spying. I mean, how come, you know, they released the Israeli spies? How come? What's the difference? I mean, look, again, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not one of those people who said the Jews did 9/11. But come on, if you catch freaking a foreign nation freaking sending spies over here, prosecute them. It's like, yo, I know you're allies of us, but you gotta cut the shit with this spying, yo. I mean, probably we do it to them. I don't know. Shit. Gotta leave people the fuck alone. That's the problem. You don't want nothing, don't start nothing. That's what I learned. These people are trained together, Fabrice said of the defendants. At the core of this is deception. Separate hearings for the other detained suspects were expected later Monday in other states. A Russian embassy spokesman said Monday that he was unaware of the reports of the arrest and said he is seeking more information from Russian officials. The suspects were trained in intelligence operatives and posted ads on Craigslist for prostitution. I'm just kidding. A Justice Department spokesperson said the information from court documents alleged they were part of a mission to plant agents in the United States. It was a massive Russian bride scheme, trying to get rich American men to marry Russian women and then have them divorce 2 months later and take half day shit. I'm just kidding. The Justice Department said that the 10 people arrested and another person not yet in custody were suspected to recruit intelligence agencies but were not directly involved in obtaining U.S. Secrets themselves. How the hell do you use this Google? This fucking Google does not work. Where are the Russian characters? How the hell did I turn Yiddish? I'm trying to do a Russian accent. I can't do Yiddish. Natasha, what secrets did you get?
These Americans are stupid. I just went to the deli and I picked up this newspaper with all their secrets.
Fucking Natasha Burnoff and shit. Freaking, they were trying to find Moose and Squirrel. Basically, Rocky and fucking Bullwinkle. So yeah. All right, what we got? All right, moving on. Next article. This is from Justin from Vortex. The Vortex. Anyway, guys, if you want to call in, I'm tired of talking to myself.
Call the Crotch Shot Radio Show now at 724-444-7444. Call ID 23980.
There you go. There you go. Again, this is from direct from Vortex. 100,000 Americans die each year from Nazi prescription drugs while pharma companies get rich. Prescription drugs taken as directed kill 100,000 Americans a year. That's one a person every 5 minutes. How did we get here?
Because of Nazis.
Yes, I like Nazi medicine. Right, Christy? The moose is in the chat room. How many people do you know who regularly use a prescription medication? If your social group is like most Americans, the answer is most. 65% of the country takes prescription drugs these days. In 2005 alone, we spent $250 billion on them. Again, this is taken from Alternet. Again, it's written by Daniela Permino, so when I say I'm just reading directly from the article, so not to cause confusion. I recently caught up with Melody Peterson, author of Our Daily Meds, in-depth look at pharmaceutical companies that have taken the reins of our faltering healthcare system by cleverly hawking every kind of drug imaginable. We discussed how this powerful industry has our health in its hands.
They got us by the balls.
Yes. Yeah, we should make our own antibiotics. And again, you might have heard this from Krusty, and I'd like to give a big shout out to Duncan. Yeah, way to fuck shit up, Duncan. I know you're listening, you bastard. God, I hate you, Duncan. I hate you with all my heart. Damn you, Duncan. All right. A real-life Jason Bourne, luxury apartment, AK-47s, and counterfeit cash. That's kind of an inside joke, but God damn you, Duncan. Fucking new guys. Authorities came upon a startling and mysterious scene when they showed up at a luxury apartment in Los Angeles in April while investigating a call about a gas holder. The door was barricaded. A cache of loaded weapons, including AK-47, sat next to a mosaic depicting the CIA seal. They found equipment for counterfeiting money. High-powered binoculars were trained on the U.S. Federal Reserve building next door. What followed was a six-week hunt for a suspect who slipped out of the fire escape moments earlier and whose evasiveness drew comparisons to fictional agent Jason Bourne. Oh, God. All right. I got to freaking play this song while I'm reading this. I really should have had this ready. Where is it? Oh, man. Word. Gotta play. I really gotta play this song. Here it is.
Lives a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. But with every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Fuck you, Duncan Man. Funk you, Duncan Man. Okay, that was enough of that. Well, police would eventually find their man, Brian Alexic, hiding out in his girlfriend's apartment less than a mile from where he fled. But 3 weeks on, detectives are still trying to figure out who he is, what plot they may have thwarted, and whether he was alone, a lone wolf, or part of a larger group. Alexic clammed up soon after he was arrested, and his trial has been harder to follow because he used at least two fake names. The 34-year-old is originally from Edison, New Jersey. Detectives said in 96 he was convicted in Middlesex County on a drug dealing charge. 5 years later, he pleaded guilty to theft by deception and was sentenced up to 180 days in jail, 5 years probation, and had to pay $1,000 in restitution to a business. Damn. Sure it wasn't Duncan?
There's a man who leads a life of danger.
I gotta jump out. Oh God, I missed my shot. Oh, I broke my head. Oh God. Outward, we won't live to see tomorrow. Secret Agent Man, secret. Giving you a number and taking away your name. Alright, that's enough of that. I'm having way too much fun. I'm just screwing around way too much. Oh, man. Yeah, most of the. So anyways, the investigators are scouring his computer hard drives and studying the alarming context of his penthouse as they attempt to unravel the mystery. One bedroom had been converted into a makeshift machine shop with tools scattered around. It appeared Alexic had been manufacturing parts of assault rifles where that ammunition magazine slotted into, said Detective Mark Zerovino from the Los Angeles Police Department's Major Crimes Unit. Detectives found a sawed-off shotgun and handgun and AK-47 ammunition and other weapons parts, including a gun barrel ballistics test, are currently underway. The CIA mosaic depicting the white starred shield with the eagle's head on the blue background measuring about 5 feet across, and investigators were impressed with the quality of the tile work. They initially thought Alexic was obsessed with the spy agency, but there was no other evidence in there linking the CIA or his infatuation with the CIA, Severino said. I don't know why he would do that. You know, but hey, we disavow any knowledge of you fucking around. So hey, moving on. He got caught, Detective Dan Logan said. When I interviewed him, he didn't knock me out, take my gun, and take my recorder like in the movies. He's not as smart or resourceful as the Jason Bourne character. Damn, does sound like Duncan. Sounds like fucking Duncan. Can't finish a goddamn job, Duncan! Alrighty. Anyway, moving on. Anyways, Bill Gates now pushing genetically modified seeds in Africa. Apparently showing his hatred for blacks when giving money to Planned Parenthood to abort black babies, he's decided to finish the job and send genetically modified seeds to the black homeland of Africa to finish him the fuck off. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation continues to throw its support behind risky genetically modified seeds as a means to feeding hungry Africans, ignoring safer, more reliable technologies that already exist. Not long after publicly blaming GM critics for prolonging hunger in Africa, Gates announced that his foundation is partnering with DuPont
subsidiary Pioneer Hybrid to develop higher yield GM strains of corn.
That cause AIDS.
2 years ago, the Gates Foundation also partnered with Monsanto to develop drought-tolerant GM corn. The companies claim that these GM seeds will be delivered to small farmers free of charge, yet Monsanto says its drought-tolerant corn won't be ready until 2012, when they perfected AIDS. At which, quick kill AIDS.
You gotta have the quick kill AIDS for the blacks.
Actually, Casey's gonna love this one. Calling, I'm already calling it. when Bill Gates asked how big is the population of Uganda that he was going to start feeding, this is the conversation.
50 million blacks.
Damn, that's a lot of niggas.
Yep, let me play that again in case you didn't hear that.
50 million blacks.
Damn, that's a lot of niggas.
Yeah, that is a lot of niggas to feed. I'm just saying. How many seats can you get over there? So, oh man, what else? At which point it will be introduced into the commercial market. It will not be made available to poor African farmers until 2016. So apparently
50 million blacks
will be going hungry till 2016. Pioneer is using conventional non-GM breeding techniques to produce higher yield corn by 2014. There is no projected date when a GM version of the new strain will be developed. It's hard not to think that Monsanto, DuPont, and their ilk are turning into the Bernie Madoff agriculture, writes Grist blogger Tom Lawski, convinced gullible foundations along with the federal government to send billions of research dollars their way on a promise of magically awesome results, sometimes down the road, of course. As Lansky, the Nigeria National Variety Release Committee, has already developed, without the use of biotechnology, various new corn strains that are resistant to drought, pest, disease, and poor soil fertility. These conventionally bred seeds do not pose any of the well-documented risks of GM crops, such as toxic health and environmental effects, the production of superweeds, and contamination of organic crops through cross-pollination, increased pesticide use, or encouraging monocultures and loss of seed diversity. If only Bill Gates, not to mention the USDA Chief Tom Vilsack or Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, would spend some of their money getting those Nigerian seeds into farmers' hands today, Lansky writes. Instead, they prefer to funnel billions of dollars into biotech giants because, well, 2016 isn't really so long to wait. So, yeah. Yeah. Apparently, you got to worry about the... Apparently, they don't really care about the...
50 million blacks.
They don't. They really don't. Anyways, moving on. So we got 8 minutes left to the show. Well, 6 minutes left to the show. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. Oh, man. Hope you guys come back tomorrow. We got another show. Like to have fun. You know, hope you guys will call. Maybe I got to start doing the whole patching thing. Can't believe you guys didn't call. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm joking. All right. Illinois inmate bled to death. Oh, man. Illinois inmate bled to death while pleading for help. For days. Before he died in a federal prison, Adam Montoya pleaded with guards to be taken to a doctor, pressing a panic button in his cell over and over to summon help that never came. An autopsy concluded that the 36-year-old inmate suffered from no fewer than three serious illnesses: cancer, hepatitis, and HIV. The cancer ultimately killed him, causing his spleen to burst. Montoya bled to death internally. But the coroner and pathologist were more stunned by another finding. The only medication in his system was trace of over-the-counter pain reliever. That means Montoya, imprisoned for a passing counterfeit checks, had been given nothing to ease the excruciating pain that no doubt racked his body for days or weeks before his death. He shouldn't have died in agony like that, Coroner Dennis. I don't know why this is so funny to me. He shouldn't have died in agony like that, Coroner Dennis Conover said. He had been out of there long enough that he should have at least died in the hospital. The FBI recently completed an investigation into Montoya's death and gave its findings to the Justice Department, which is reviewing the case. If federal prosecutors conclude that Montoya's civil rights were violated, they could take action against the prison, its guards, or both. A Justice Department spokesman declined to comment, saying that the matter was still being investigated. The coroner said guards should have been aware that something was seriously wrong with the inmate, and outside experts agree that the symptoms of cancer and hepatitis would have been hard to miss. Dramatic weight loss, a swollen abdomen, yellow eyes, blood coming out his mouth, him screaming for help, being in pain, hearing this noise as he died. During Montoya's final days, he consistently made requests to the prison for medical attention. They wouldn't give it to him, said his father, Juan Montoya, who described how his son repeatedly punched the panic button. Three inmates corroborated that account in interviews with the Associated Press. The younger Montoya was taken to the prison clinic one day for maybe 5-10 minutes, his father said, and they gave him Tylenol. And that was it. He suffered a lot. Yeah, well, that's what you get for fucking stealing checks, you son of a bitch. A federal prison in I know it's wrong to say, but fuck. You know what? I mean, seriously, if you're gonna do something illegal, I'm not saying your rights should be taken away. Of course not. If his rights were violated, and this, yeah, people should go to jail. But you really shouldn't be expecting 5-star treatment in jail if you did something fucked up. Hell, I mean, you're pretty much on your own if you're in prison. Anyways, it isn't clear whether the prison system relatives or even Montoya himself knew the full extent of his illnesses. Montoya's father had no idea his son had cancer or hepatitis. Inmates who knew him said he told them he had cancer, but they knew nothing of his HIV. According to its website, the Bureau of Prisons tries to screen the health of new inmates within 24 hours of their arrival. Closer examination within 2 weeks is required for prisoners with serious long-term illnesses, but officials have not said whether Montoya was given any kind of exam or whether his medical records made it to Pekin. Montoya pleaded guilty in May 2009 to counterfeiting commercial checks, credit cards, and gift cards. Prosecutors will not say how much money was involved in the scheme, but Montoya was ordered to pay a little over $2,000 in restitution. Montoya, who had a history of methamphetamine abuse, was released. Again, let me read that again. Montoya, who had a history of methamphetamine abuse, was released while awaiting sentencing and was ordered not to use drugs. At the time, he was living with his father and working for his father's process servicing business, which delivers legal documents. His father said he was paying Montoya's bills and paying him about $300 a week. Then in mid-June, Adam Montoya was diagnosed with HIV. It hit him like a ton of bricks, his father said. After the diagnosis, Montoya retreated back into methamphetamine. Following a urine test, he admitted using the drug 3 times in a month. So, yeah. Yep. That's how we treat a prisoner, Chair. Yeah. Anyways, I'd like to thank everyone for listening. Now it's time to say goodbye to all our family. Again, love everybody coming here after Christy's show. Love Christy. Love you, Vortex. Dumbo Zoo. Eric. Julia. Keith. Louis B. Oh, wait, that's me. Casey Dog. Bobo. Moose Dog. Lenny. Talk Shit. And, Mustafa. That's the other Keith. Or Kevin. So, yeah, I'd like to thank everyone for listening. This has been the Crotch Out Radio saying, fuck the New World Order. And if you don't want to look into what we got to say, if you just don't want to keep your head stuck in the sand and you don't want to educate yourself and you just don't want to evolve, then fuck you, too. Hope you're all right.